is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Queen Elizabeth II, 70 years on the throne. We're within hours, days of celebrating her life and her final resting place. The Queen was an inspiration to those of us who were privileged to follow her in Life magazine when I was young and then later through the news reporting. I welcome Daniel Henniger, of the deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, who writes Wonderland, looking at the Queen's life and why it is we admire what she achieved. And also her inspiration to all of us is now a challenge for those of us who run into the word influencer. Influencer is popular here in the 21st century. Dan, a very good evening to you. Your column raises questions that I do not have an answer, so I ask your help. Is inspiration then, we of the 20th century, the same as influencer now? How are they different? How are they the same? Good evening to you, Dan.
Hi there, John. Well, that is the question raised by the aftermath of the celebrations of Queen Elizabeth's life. When we talk about influencers, one person who does come to mind is Meghan Markle, Prince Harry's wife, who is indeed an influencer. And in the modern sense of the word, what that mainly means is an individual who gets other people to buy stuff. And the way they rise to that ability is through self-promotion, self-aggrandizement, mainly using Instagram and other forms of social media to maximize their number of followers to the point where they are then able to induce other people who are themselves are swimming around in Instagram and social media to buy the things they want. And it's just sort of like looking at oneself in the mirror all the time and reflecting back on oneself. It was so striking that within an hour of the Queen's death, they were describing her values, which were reserve, self-containment, modesty of demeanor, civility, prudence, and the like. A life that could not be more the polar opposite, John, of many of the values that are elevated and raised and devalued today. It was impossible not to miss the difference between the Queen of 70 years and the culture that we've had here for the last 10 or 15 years or so.
This is what you describe in your column as a culture of self-aggrandizement. Is it aware, Dan, of the difference between then and now?
No, I don't think it is particular. Well, I have to say, when all of these commentators, and this was from left to right, started to describe the Queen in these terms, one thought that occurred to me, well, it's at least encouraging that the commentators themselves recognize and remember all of these old traditional virtues and values. They haven't been completely forgotten. But in terms of the media itself, in our day-to-day, even hourly lives, none of that stuff is ever celebrated anymore. And I think we've paid a price for that, as I tried to write. For the Queen, those kinds of old-fashioned virtues and values were really, yes, there was a kind of goodness involved there, but they were also a source of personal stability. They gave one a sense of structure in one's life that allowed one to do potentially other good things. If there's anything as a kind of counter to that in society today, it's emotional instability. It's emotional anxiety. The sales of antidepressants are through the roof. I think they have, I would argue, the legalization of marijuana is in part because people are so anxious today that they use this as a kind of antidote to the culture that they live in. The easier answer, I'm suggesting, is the traditional virtues and values that served Queen Elizabeth so well throughout her life.
Let's use the word virtue. You make a distinction between virtue earned individually with virtue because you are associating yourself with conduct by society. That would be, I'm for saving the planet. That would be constructed by society. So what's the difference between individual virtue and societal virtue, Dan?
Well, individual virtue is that which one develops on one's own. By being aware of the virtues like prudence, fortitude, temperance, self-containment, self-discipline. Those virtues used to be taught to people. They didn't just drop from the sky. They were taught by the churches. They were taught by the schools. But those two institutions, at some point in the last 20 years, transferred their energies to what we now call social values, socially constructed values, which we describe in our time as things like social justice, equity, inclusion, or even saving the planet. The determinant of the morality of one's life is a function of the extent to which one is committed to things like equity and inclusion and the like. And I argued in the column that those things are always, the problem with them is they are such grandiose goals, saving the planet, for instance. They're always receding into the distance, into the horizon. One never quite achieves them. And that, I think, is the source of a lot of the instability, both political and emotional, that we see around us. Building one's own sense of personal values and virtues of the sort that the Queen obviously learned when she was very young, that gives you a bedrock, a groundwork of stability, which I would argue, if you want to do that, yes, and work towards some of these other exterior goals, that would be fine. But there's so little of the personal virtue building in society today that people frequently feel lost.
You imagine a rediscovery of personal virtues similar to the Queen's. Modesty, I emphasize modesty. Is it possible, Dan, or is that gone with the wind? Are we the last who remember what we were taught?
Well, you know, the schools are an interesting example there of whether there is hope, shall we say, in that regard or not. The public schools obviously have stopped doing that. They're very politicized these days. But that is one of the reasons so many parents have migrated to charter schools, to parochial schools, Catholic schools, Jewish private schools, and even homeschooling. Clearly, there are many, many, many parents out there who feel embattled but are aware that their children need a grounding in something deeper, more personal, more useful, and I would say more virtuous than the politicized culture and self-promotional culture that we live in today. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of people, they fly under the radar, they don't get a lot of media attention, they're not influencers, shall we say, John, but they are, I think, influential within their own communities.
I'm struck, Dan, you mentioned the Queen's family. This is another way for me to understand why Meghan Markle, the wife and the mother of children of Prince Harry, has not found a place in the royal family. The royal family celebrating the Queen probably just didn't understand what Markle was doing. I mean, she is a marketer.
No, she didn't. I think that's right. She probably didn't get what the Queen represented at all. She grew up in a world that was completely removed from what the Queen represented. Now, it could be that the pomp and circumstance, shall we say, of the royal family could overwhelm a lot of people. It is undeniable. But by and large, the Queen, most of all, reflected these personal values and virtues. You know, one of the things I was struck by when all the coverage after she died, John, there was photograph after photograph of her standing or in the presence of American presidents, from Eisenhower, Nixon, Obama, Clinton, the rest of them. And they're all these big guys and the little Queen standing there. And she looked so self-contained and actually, I would say, charismatic. She just kind of radiated a presence. And that came from within. There's no question about it.
Daniel Henniger, deputy editor of the editorial page, writing Wonderland about 70 years on the throne, and farewell.